Let's pray. Lord, as always, we pray that you would open your word to us and open our hearts to you. Speak to us now, please, and make us more like you. In your name, amen. This morning, let's talk about how we as Christians, or we as people, how we come under attack from our enemies from time to time. And by our enemies, I mean the world, the flesh, and the devil. So perhaps you'll find this story amusing. When I was a freshman in college in Campus Crusade for Christ, the Campus Crusade director challenged each one of us to do something kind or nice to someone in the week that was coming up without letting them know that you're doing it. So to do it anonymously. And then he said, and not only that, you can't tell anybody about what you did. I thought this was easy peasy. So I did a good anonymously to a person that I knew. But afterwards, I was surprised how tempting it was to tell someone, anyone, just one person, about how I did something good anonymously to someone else. But you know, I'm a team player, so I did not, because the director said we could not. But then here's the real shocker. For me it was. This is a huge surprise. After I did not tell anyone about the good I did anonymously, I was tempted to tell someone how I did not tell anybody about the good I did anonymously. Aren't we curious human beings? Aren't we curious? I just think sometimes we're a hoot. And that just goes to show that we're constantly tempted. We're constantly under attack. Sometimes from the front, sometimes from the rear, from the right, from the left, sometimes from without, often from within. And that's because we are fallen human beings living in a fallen world surrounded by fallen angels. So turn with me, if you will, to our text, Genesis 39, and let's look at how Joseph came under attack today and what he did in response. Now, some attacks are obvious and they come at us head on like a charging bull. Nothing too subtle about a charging bull. And sometimes the way we are attacked by the world, by others, nothing subtle about it. This was the case for Joseph in our text, 39, verse 1. Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. And of course, why was Potiphar able to buy Joseph as a slave? Because his brothers sold him to the Ishmaelites. They were jealous. They wanted to get rid of him. They did. Nothing subtle about that. Nothing subtle at all. One minute Joseph was free, the next he was a slave. A lot of life is like that, isn't it? One minute you feel fine, except for a little pain in your back. The next minute, after talking to the doctor, you find out you have cancer up and down your spine. Nothing subtle about that, is there? It's like a bull charging you. It just bursts into your life, and you have to deal with it. And often in such situations, sometimes the best we can do is just to muddle through, right? Best we can do. I doubt very much that Joseph expected his brothers, of all people, to sell him into slavery. And yet they did. And suddenly, he has to face a whole different existence. A whole different life than the one he knew before. And life has a way of doing that to us, doesn't it? We often come under attack by life, by others, so on and so forth. And often it's not in the least subtle at all. Of course, on other occasions, the attack does blindside us. Look at verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. So he was so successful in what he did that Potiphar then promoted him, so to speak, and made him the steward of his house, verses 5 and 6. And then from the time he, Potiphar, made him, Joseph, overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. So when Joseph's brother sold him into slavery, the bottom fell out of his life. And then he's in Potiphar's house, and now things are starting to look up. He's not just a lowly slave, he's now the steward over the whole house. I can imagine that Joseph thought, okay, I can deal with this. It's not ideal, but I can deal with this. But then he was blindsided. Verse 7. After a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." Joseph, of course, refused. Verse 10, she tried to seduce him day after day. Finally, in 11 through 18, she framed him for rape. And Potiphar, in verses 19 through 20, believed his wife and cast Joseph into prison. He didn't see that one coming, did he? Had I been Joseph, I might have expected the other slaves to be jealous of me after I was raised up and, you know, attack me in the way that people do. I probably wouldn't have expected that. I might have expected that in some way, at some point, I would disappoint Potiphar and sooner or later maybe come under attack from him. I'm sure I would have expected the occasional Egyptians I ran into to make some rude comments every once in a while since I'm a Hebrew slave. But Potiphar's wife coming on to me, lusting after me, trying day after day to seduce me, I would not have expected that. That would have blindsided me. But it happens, doesn't it? Sometimes when we come under attack by life or by whatever, we don't see it coming. It's like yesterday I was walking back from the church to the parsonage, and as I was walking on the sidewalk, there was a bug scurrying across. I don't know what it was doing, whatever bugs do, I guess. And maybe it was working really hard to provide for its wife and kids. I doubt that bugs do that, but maybe it was. Maybe it was thinking, what a wonderful day today is. I love how warm it is. I don't know. All I know is I stepped on it and squashed it. I dare say that bug was blindsided and did not see that coming. Isn't that how we sometimes feel? We're scurrying across our sidewalk. We're trying hard to take care of our family, whatever the case might be. We're enjoying the wonderful day, enjoying our Lord, and then we get squashed. It's always frustrating when we come under attack, but especially so when we're blindsided. And we often are. So, what do we do when we come under attack? Do we whine and complain about it? A lot of people do. Do we wallow in our despair? A lot of people do. Do we tell everybody who will listen how unfair our life is? Some people do that. Do we lock up? Again, some people do that. Do we give up? A lot of people do that. What ought we to do? We ought to do what Joseph did. Our job. Just do our job. Put yourself in Joseph's place. Your brothers sold you into slavery. You end up in Egypt in Potiphar's house. So much about being your father's favorite. Talk about an unfair turn of events. Talk about life stinking. What would you do in your new situation? Would you be surly in spirit? Would you shut down? Would you do as little as you absolutely had to do as a slave to please your master? Apparently, Joseph just did his job. Maybe not at first, but in time. Look at verses 2 through 5. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. Now clearly, our text is very clear. Clearly, Joseph succeeded because the Lord was with him. But if he had not been faithful in doing what he did, no one would have thought he was a success. No one would have thought that. And yet he was successful. So he must have just done his job and done it fairly well. Then, as you know, Potiphar's wife, as we already said, framed him, accused him of rape. Potiphar sent him to prison. If you were Joseph, how would you feel? Your life was just starting to get better. And then this happened. And it's unfair. It's horribly unfair. What would you do? Would you be surly in spirit? Would you shut down? Would you only do what you had to do and no more while you were in prison? Once again, apparently Joseph just did his job. Verses 21 through 23. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Again, clearly he succeeded because the Lord was with him. But would he have been viewed as a success if he wasn't faithful in doing the things he was supposed to do? He just did his job. So let me say it again. When we come under attack, what do we do? Whine and complain about it? Wallow in our despair? Tell everybody who will listen how unfair our life is? Lock up, give up? No, we ought to do what Joseph did. Just do our job. We ought to keep on doing those things which God has called us to do. For Joseph, that meant being a good slave. What does it look like for you and me? For Joseph, it meant being a good slave. Obviously, it looks differently for you and me. Micah 6:8. This is what we're told. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? What does he expect of you? What's your job? To do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. What does the Lord require of us in any given situation? He requires us, he expects us to do justice. That is to treat others fairly. And to love kindness, that is not only to treat others fairly, but to be compassionate as well. And to walk humbly with our God, that is to trust and obey him in submission in all things. And notice there's no conditions to this. Whether we are the favorite of our father, as Joseph was, and are treated admirably, or whether we, like Joseph, are sold into slavery, as Joseph was, our calling is the same: to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. Whether we are free and working for our father, or we are enslaved and working for Potiphar, our calling is the same. To do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with our God. Paul said it this way, Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. whether life is looking up or it's going down the toilet, the calling is still the same. Do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. And for that matter, our calling doesn't change even if we are sent to a prison, as Joseph was. As I always say, our mission never changes. No matter the circumstances, no matter how we feel, the mission remains the same. Do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. Dairy farmers understand what I'm talking about. All farmers do, but especially dairy farmers. Doesn't matter what is going on in their lives, in the lives of the dairy farmers, the cows still have to be milked, so they milk them. Doesn't matter what might be happening in the family, for good or bad, cows still have to be milked, so they get up and milk them. A farmer might wake up with a 103 degree temperature or wake up in the funk of all funks. Doesn't matter. Cows still need to be milked, so they milk them. A farmer might whine or complain about the rain or the lack of rain, but that doesn't stop him from planting his crops when he's supposed to plant them, or harvesting his crops when he's supposed to harvest them. If hail destroys his crops, he replants a different crop if time permits, hoping that they will mature before the freeze comes. Farmers just get up every day and do their job, don't they? I think we American Christians could learn a lot from them. God just requires us, expects us to do our job, to get up and do our job. That is, to be a just person, a kind person, and to walk humbly with our God. That's it. Pretty simple. Which brings us to why we can do this. We can do our job in any situation because God is with us. We can't do it on our own, but we can do it because God is with us. Look at our text once again. Verse 1 and 2. Joseph is brought down to Egypt to Potiphar as a slave, and he is successful. And why is he successful? Verse 2. Because the Lord was with Joseph. He could just do his job because the Lord was with him. And then as he's sent to prison, the same thing. He's sent to prison and he again is successful. Why? Because, verse 21, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. When Paul wrote his letters to the Ephesians, the Philippians, the Colossians, and Philemon, he was in prison, just like Joseph. And just like Joseph, Paul didn't wallow in self-pity, he just did his job. In fact, throughout his whole ministry, Paul just did his job like a farmer. Think about the things that Paul went through. Would you be tempted to quit? Would you be tempted to wallow in self-pity? I tell you, if these were on my resume, or not my resume, on my job description for a pastor, I'm sorry, I'm resigning. Think of what he went through. 2 Corinthians 11:24-29. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. The Jewish law was you could only do 40 minus one because 40 lashes were thought to be fatal. So they did as many as they could up to that 40, and 5 times he was whipped, 39 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Rods tend to break bones. Once I was stoned. When people were stoned, that was usually because they were supposedly guilty of some crime and were being executed. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from my false brothers. Like I said, I'm ready to resign if that's on my job description. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, and cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there's a daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? Despite all this that Paul went through, he just kept on doing his job, didn't he? And why could Paul keep on doing his job? Philippians 4:13, as he said, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Or if I could paraphrase, I can do my job because Christ is with me. And you and I can do ours. At work, at home, on vacation, at the store, on a hospital bed, in prison, and so on. We can do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God, no matter the circumstances, because God himself is with us. Because he is with us, and he's promised to never leave us or forsake us. Over the years, certain people that I have known have amazed me. In 1994, and I might have told you this before, I lost my dad. About a month later, a lady from the church that we were at lost her dad as well. At the viewing for her father, as I'm spending time with the family, and I'm there to comfort them, obviously, at the viewing, this lady says to me, "It's too soon, isn't it?" And she understood that all the things that she was going through, the funeral, her death of her father, the death of her father, it was all bringing up the memories that I had just a month ago. So here she was, grieving, and she was thinking about me. 2002, we moved to Cumberland, and this one I'm pretty sure I told you before. A pastor from the neighboring church was in the hospital from a serious car accident. He almost lost his life. We went to visit him. And as soon as I stepped in the room, I'm ready to see how he's doing and so on and so forth. But as soon as I stepped into the room, before I could even say anything, he starts asking me how I'm doing, how the family's doing, how the new ministry's going, how are people in the church. Is there anything I need from him? And so on and so forth. He's hooked up to all kinds of tubes and wires. I'm supposed to be asking him those questions. And he's asking me those questions. Amazing. In the 5 years that I have been here, I have heard from various nurses at various hospitals about various people from the two churches. How wonderful and gracious they were as patients. At least twice I've been told by a nurse, he or she, and I'm not going to mention any names, purposely being vague, but at least twice I've been told he or she seemed to be more concerned about me, the nurse, more concerned about me than he or she was about him or herself. That is doing what the Lord requires of us. We all come under attack, don't we? And sometimes the attack is greatest when we think everything's going great, but that's beside the point. We all come under attack. What should we do when we come under attack? Our job is keep on doing what we're supposed to do. The mission never changes. Once again, we could learn a lot from the farmer. Let's pray. Lord, we choose. We choose to do justice. We choose to love kindness. We choose to walk humbly with you and our fellow man. We choose to do what you expect of us, no matter our circumstances, no matter where you send us, no matter how we are treated. And we choose this because you are with us, and you will never leave us or forsake us. With you, we can do what you expect us to do. Others choose to wallow in self-pity or anger when they are attacked. We choose to worship instead, to worship and work. In your name, amen.